Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Jesse McAnally.
And I'm Andrew DeWolf.
And you know what? The new movie of Dear Evan Hansen is mere months away, literally less than 4 months away. And a lot of people are discovering on watching the trailer that they had no idea what the plot of that movie is going to be about. The thing on Twitter everyone thought it was is it's about a gay kid figuring out himself, which this show is decidedly not about in any way, shape, or form.
So what is this about? People haven't seen Dear Evan Hansen?
No. I'm willing to bet most people have only listened to the cast album, heard the waving through a window, heard all that, and it's like it's about a gay kid who's like on the outside always looking in.
Is that why everyone thinks that this show is like super good?
I can't say that because Ben Brantley saw the show. Like, we know for a fact he saw the show live. So, okay. And for framing, me and Andrew do not like this show. We recorded an entire podcast a few years ago about how much we hated this show.
I mean, you can still go back. I think, honestly, of the earlier episodes we've done,
that one still holds up because of the legitimate anger we both have during it.
We'll get into it.
We'll get into it. But first, I want to tell you a main reason why a lot of people are kind of nebulous in what this plot is because the show itself, in all its promo materials, is being nebulous about what the plot is. Sorry. The playbill description literally describes the plot as this. All of his life, Evan Hansen has felt invisible, but when a tragic event shocks the community and thrusts him in the center of a rapidly evolving controversy, Evan is given the opportunity of a lifetime, the chance to be someone else. that's one way to describe it, I guess.
It's not like inaccurate, though. You're
but
skipping.
It's definitely not a representation of what happens in this show at all.
I mean, I guess if you were going to summarize it in the most charitable and short way possible, that is a good way to do it.
Charitable is the key word there. I like that word. But this is going to be a handy reference for you if you want to be like, hey, what is that Dear Evan Hansen about before you go see the movie and give it your hard-earned money? So, Andrew, how about we dive in? So it opens with Evan Hansen. He's got social anxiety, and his therapist is having him write these letters to himself.
That's the Dear Evan Hansen. That's where that comes from.
Yeah, that's where the plot line of Dear Evan Hansen, the title, comes from, is he would write these letters. Dear Evan Hansen, it's going to be a good day today because I'm so great.
He also, like, prints them out for some reason and, like, carries them around with him.
Yeah, I feel like a normal kid would just write it in the notes app on his phone since this is, like, an exercise for himself.
Or like Google Docs and just like kind of leave it there and
yeah,
like,
just keep adding it.
He goes into like the computer lab and like prints them out at school.
Yeah, that's a let's just say for a framing device, this is a really thin premise. Like,
and it's very thin as a way to set up the whole rest of the show.
Yes, it is. It's so nonsensical that when I tell people about it, they're like, "What? How does that work?" I'm like, "It really doesn't. It doesn't that well."
Yeah, I mean, because it's actually really important that he goes to the school computer lab and prints out the papers.
I don't like myself papers.
Yeah, because that's how the like Connor character ends up with the...
Okay, so at the same time we're setting up Evan, we're setting up another family, the Connor Murphy family. It consists of the Murphy parents. We have Connor, we have Zoe, we have so many folks up there. But the most important one we're going to focus on right now is Connor. And how would you describe Connor?
Connor is the bully character from Doug. What? I don't know. All I remember about him is that he's mean.
He's
and then
very mean.
And then, spoilers, he dies.
Oh my god, did the bully from Doug kill himself?
Oof. I don't know. Doesn't he wear, like, black clothes and, like...
Yep, skinny jeans, like all that. Long hair.
He's the bully from Doug. I don't know.
But also, his parents don't quite know how to handle him. Zoe doesn't particularly like her brother. It's a complicated family situation. Yeah. Evan goes to school and he feels like he's just waving through a window because, you know, everyone's like through their phones. Apparently, this entire musical is supposed to be a critique of social media and how it takes off. And I just disagree with that entire premise as a human being.
I feel like the best, like the most charitable way to interpret this show is that it's a parody of itself.
Yes.
Because... otherwise, you have to think that it's taking itself seriously.
So when we get to school, we discover that Evan has a huge crush on Connor's sister, Zoe. And he gets, like, pushed around by Connor a bunch. And Zoe's like, just ignore my brother. And then he's like, oh, my God, I love you. Please stay with me. And then she does.
Well, he has a cast on this whole time, too, right?
Yes, we don't explain that. He does have a cast on, and he wants to try to get people to sign his cast. Cut to Emma Stone asking people to sign her cast.
Yeah, but Evan is not friends with anyone, so he can't get anyone to sign the cast.
Yes, and therefore we get more dumb premises later. So he had a really rough day at school, so he's like, I'm gonna go to the computer lab and write myself a Word document letter about how today was not a good day.
And then print it.
Very, very rough. Like, no teenager would do this. This feels like such a boomer idea. Like, you gotta print it off. You gotta print it off or else you know you did it.
What, is he gonna hang it on his wall?
Dumb premise. Very dumb premise. And then who comes into the computer lab but Connor, who's suddenly acting out of character, relatively decent.
Yeah, he's just like, now he's like, I'm not the meanest person ever for some reason.
For this one scene.
He signs the cast.
Like, big across, like, across the arm, like, C-O-N-N-O-R. Like, which impossible to miss.
Which I assume is a jerk move on his part. Like, he's trying to prevent anyone else from signing it by signing it
so
large.
But it's framed in the musical, like, hey, now we'll be, like, cool buds and all that. Like, the premise of a friendship feels there. However, it is killed when Connor's like, oh, yeah, you left your paper here. And he's like, and Connor, or Evan has written a little bit about how hot his sister is or something. Like,
well, yeah, of course.
nebulous, because he just is like, and Zoe will never know me or notice me. And then he gets all angry. Connor's like, what are you saying about my kid's sister, man? And steals the letter and then runs off.
Yeah.
All right. That's the premise. Evan goes home. He's like, man, that was a really bad day. Next day, he's pulled into the principal's office. The Murphys are there. He's like, oh, no. Did they find out I'm in love with Zoe? Oh, no. They're like, Connor killed himself yesterday. And his suicide letter was written to you. And they pull out this self-written letter. Dear Evan Hansen.
With parts about how he loves the sister in it.
Yeah, nebulous enough where it could be about a brother and a sister. And Evan's like, and he could just very easily be like, yo, no, this, Connor didn't write this, I did, and it's kind of a real mistake. But the parents are like, no, this is the last bit of hope we're clinging on to, that he had someone in the end. And he's like, all right, and they invite him to dinner that night. And this is the
most paper thin plot.
It is
possible.
It's situational comedy taken to the darkest degree.
Yeah, and it's
here's the point where we pause, and I want to bring up another film that I think handles this premise better. Have you ever seen World's Greatest Dad?
I have not.
All right, so it's about Robin Williams, who has a very complicated relationship with his son, who is very, very mean and very antagonistic towards everyone, very sexually explicit, not a good kid. And then he comes home and he finds his son has killed himself on accident doing autoerotic asphyxiation. So to save him the embarrassment of that, he writes a fake suicide note and hangs him and then calls the police and says that he committed suicide. And from that, he gets all the attention, all the sympathy, and then you get why he would write, as he's a failed writer, so he writes a fake journal of his son and then gives that out there for people to read, and that gets like book deals. There is the tumbling of like snowball effect in a way where it's like, especially if it's an older man, the initial intention was good.
Yeah.
Whereas here,
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer. Streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I don't think the initial intention was good in any way.
No, the initial intention isn't even necessarily there.
Yes.
He just is thrust into it and then doesn't say anything. He's just like, yes. Oh, I'm just gonna take this and run.
And he did get nervous. He, like, that first conversation, he was nervous and he was like, I understand that. I will let that go as leeway for a character we've set up as, like, social anxiety problem. But then he's invited to dinner with the Murphy family. And that's when he makes up a full-ass story about him and Connor going out and having good buddy times and having ice cream and looking at trees.
It gets progressively much worse.
Yes, and it's bad. And then they're like, oh my god, he was such a good boy. And then they have an actual really effective moment. Like, there's like three in this musical, and here's one of them, where they all reflect on their very complicated relationship with Connor. So the sister's like, you were always a piece of shit to me. I'm not going to reframe you as not being a piece of shit just because you're dead. The mother's like, oh my god, my baby boy was always had a friend and always loved things. He's so beautiful. And the dad's like, man, this I gave you everything and you threw it away. Fuck you, kid.
I think what I really don't like is it has this kind of like, Evan is doing almost a good deed for these people, where I think objectively speaking, he is not. It's like, and I feel like I talk about this in our episode. It's like those like people who say they can talk to the dead.
Yes.
You know, and it's like grieving parents and people will go to them to be like, I want to talk to my dead child. But you're not talking to your dead child. You're talking to this person who barely knows them or doesn't know them at all. And now all of your actual memories of your kid are getting fucked around with by this con artist, you know? So like when the mom is like, oh yeah, my kid always had a friend and he did this and he did this. It's like, well, no, he didn't.
Mm-hmm. Now we have to talk about one of the worst songs in musical theater history, which is Sincerely Me, where Evan and his frenemy write fake emails from Connor to Evan between each other, and they talk about like how much they were best friends and how much they love trees and shit. But there's also a bunch of gay panic where it's like, but not because we're gay. The only man I love is my dad. I swear we're not gay.
Yeah, this is where it kind of just keeps going off the rails. Now it's like at first he was just kind of thrown into it, and then maybe he made up a few things because he was at an awkward dinner. But Now it's like, okay, let's get my friend
premeditated getting involved.
Premeditatively getting involved and making up fake shit about this kid, and somehow it still gets worse.
Yes. So from all these emails, they're basically rewriting Connor's personality for the parents. So they have a much rosier version of him to kind of latch onto, which is a lie. You should embrace reality and not feel like this is just like a series of lies being thrown at you.
Yeah. And God, I really wish there was anything in this show that was like Connor showing up and like confronting him about this shit more.
Well, the thing is, this musical does have Connor come back, but we'll talk about that in a bit. We got to take the one step for it to get worse. Like, this is how we end Act One, basically, and it's gross. Has a moment with Zoe, Connor's sister that he's secretly in love with, and he makes up all these stories about how Connor loved his sister, resulting in Evan making out with Zoe, like, without consent, like trying to kiss Zoe without consent because he's saying I love you as Connor. It's gross, it's sickening. And then he gets kicked out of her room, obviously.
Well, yeah,
because that's gross, that's sick. She's mourning her brother, and you're just taking advantage of that to try to gain sexual favors. Disgusting human being behavior. Disgusting, horrible behavior.
Yeah, I mean, it's all been pretty disgusting even up to this point, but now it's just like,
but this
over
is like a
top
big line cross, and we're not even at the end of Act One. So Connor's mom gives Evan a tie that Connor would never wear, and Evan wears it to Connor's memorial service, where he has a speech for the Connor Project, which is this huge project he's thinking up. Hold on.
If I remember
rewind.
Right, the,
we gotta rewind.
The
I'm
Connor
so sorry.
Project is like...
We got to hold for a second. We're going to rewind. Future Jess, cut that part out. So after that, Evan goes home, and he's visited by the ghost of Connor. Ooh. That is like, man, you're doing such great things for me. This is so cool. Like, man, you've made it so I'll never disappear, and I'll always be remembered. Basically, the ghost of Connor telling Evan, take this even further.
Yeah, which I guess you can interpret it as that's really just Evan talking to himself about
how
we should take it further. But like, I really just want the actual Connor, like, as his conscience to show up and be like, hey,
you
should fucking stop. You should fucking stop. You know?
But the musical brings Connor in as his own, like, ghost character to have opinions and to reflect. And he comes in and he's like, man, you've made my legacy go on. You got to take this further. And therefore, Evan has the idea for the Connor Project, which is this disgusting, like, suicide prevention thing based on a kid, that killed himself but had no friends on the basis of so many lies.
It's just, it's him trying to make himself always be in the center of attention.
Yes.
It's Evan just forcing himself into everyone's minds, basically.
Speaking of forcing himself into everyone's minds, he's given a speech at the launch of the Connor Project where he sings the most obnoxious song, the most nothing song, the song that is basically a political slogan at this point, You Will Be Found, where it's like, no matter how dark it is, you will be found. But the thing is, Connor was never found.
No, Connor, it basically doesn't exist anymore. Everything about him is now lies. And honestly, no matter what, even if Evan comes clean, I don't think you can fix that.
No, this is the point where it crosses, like, this is framed as an uplifting way to end Act One.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not. It's a disgusting, disgusting way to end Act One.
And also, doesn't it end with Zoe and Evan now are dating as well?
Yes, she's like, man, I love you now. We're good. Because, you know, you've made such an impact on my brother and my family through all your your acts and wonderful deeds. And then she kisses him, and that's how Act One ends.
Yeah. So basically he...
And it goes viral, so, like, obviously the world is going to change now. Gotta see what happens in Act Two to find out.
And I kind of understand that they're sort of framing Evan as, like, not the best person, but it's really not enough.
The thing is, if he had consequences for his actions, big consequences, maybe that would be better. But he doesn't, so let's go. So... it turns out Evan's got a mother that really hasn't factored much into this and is now discovering, like, my son had, like, this best friendship that I never knew about and is now the fucking spearhead of this giant project that I also didn't know about. Like, yeah. What the hell are you doing? I'm pretty sure you had no friends. You would have mentioned a friend to me. And he's like, yes. Mom, you don't understand. Go fuck off.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Because of course, Act Two is like, this is where they do all the ridiculous social media stuff, which is
terrible. Also got to talk about the love song between Zoe and Evan, where every time Evan is around Zoe, he wants to just talk about Connor, and Zoe's like, we're in a relationship, I do not want to talk about my dead brother every time we're around each other. And it's a really good song and a good moment, and I think it works. I just want to give credit where it's due for things I like.
Well, yeah, because Evan has built everything on a lie. So without Connor, he has no way into this relationship. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And he knows that. So he's like really leaning on that. But he's barely a human being is the thing.
That's true.
So Evan goes to another dinner with the Murphy family to find out, oh, no, they've invited his mother to dinner. What? And like all the lies he's been telling the Murphys are being revealed to his mother. Oh, no. And at this dinner, they reveal that they're giving Connor's college fund to Evan.
Oh, man, that's so good. I'm sure Evan won't take advantage of that at all.
Evan feels that, like, he's more welcomed at the Murphy's house than at his own house, and his mom's always working and all of that, and they have a big old fight. Alana, who we really haven't brought up, she's the one character of color in this, and she just kind of exists to, like, get the social media thing moving. She's mad at him because there's a lot of inconsistencies between the emails, because of course there are. Jared, who is like his best friend and also kind of a weirder, his frenemy Jared, is very mad at him for a bunch of reasons. So his mother and his two other accomplices are all yelling at him and telling him he's an idiot, and that it's a good moment. It's good to watch Evan get yelled at.
Yeah, though sadly he doesn't really get much comeuppance even after all this.
Nope, he just got a really stern talking to.
Yep.
So after like this really intense discussion with all these people, who shows up to Evan but Connor's ghost?
Yep.
Saying, hey, if you tell the truth, I'm gonna go away, no one will remember me, and the only thing that people will have of me is the shitty person I was in real life. Think about me next time you're gonna think about this.
Which is so absurd. Like, having Connor be the advocate for Evan lying about Connor is like, god damn.
So there's a lot of bad things that happen, but eventually Evan's co-conspirators leak Connor's suicide note that Evan wrote about himself. Wrote himself as, it's confusing, but you get it. And it, yeah. Now the entire internet is like blaming the Murphys for Connor's suicide, the parents specifically. And they're like distraught, heartbroken about it. And of course, at that moment, Evan's mom knows this is just one of Evan's stupid therapy assignments. So that revelation comes to her. And at that point, Evan decides, instead of like dealing with all this, he just screams out all the truth to the Murphys and then leaves, like, hey, I did this, my bad, and then goes home.
Not that that does anything, though, because everyone on the internet still hates them.
Yep. So he destroyed their entire family life, built them a throne of lies, and then kind of leaves. He gets to leave.
Yeah, he just gets to leave. They still have to deal with everyone blaming them for Connor's death and everything.
Mm-hmm. He goes home to his mom, and they have a moment where she's like, I was not a good mother because I was just really, really busy, and like, I'm sorry I worked so hard to give you a house, you fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, Evan Evan gets an apology in this show.
And then after that, we cut to a year later. Oh my gosh. Evan is working at Pottery Barn and he is like going to community college next semester. And Zoe and Evan meet at a park bench and they forgive each other. And it brought the family closer together.
Yeah, it did, I'm sure.
And then Evan finally accepts himself, and that's how the musical ends.
I think we didn't mention that his cast was because Evan had a
suicide attempt. Yes. At some point in the midway through Act Two, we learned that he had a cast on because he tried to commit suicide by jumping out of a tree.
Which, yes, that's not good or whatever, but it kind of just feels like a desperate ploy by the show to make you feel sympathy for Evan.
Yep. And it is. Bold of you to say the truth like that.
It's like, yeah, I mean, sure, he made everyone, like, worse, everyone's lives worse, but, like, he was also sad.
And he also tried to kill himself, but he did it first before Connor.
Yeah, he's the OG.
It's a disgusting look at suicide. I know we're laughing about it, but it is a, just because of how surreally disgusting this frames it.
It's not because suicide's funny, it's because this show is so ridiculously out of touch with how you should handle this subject.
And it's shocking to me that most people don't know the plot of this, and I hope that this helped you figure out what the plot of Dear Evan Hansen was. Now we gotta address the movie, because of course we do. You've seen the trailer.
I mean, yeah, it's about a college student who has gone back to high school for some reason.
It's a big framing change,
yeah.
It's about a senior citizen trying to go back to high school.
Just got out of the retirement home and he's going back to school. He wants
But first he got Jerry Curl. He had to get the Jerry Curl done first before he went back to high school.
Yeah, yeah.
So they say they're going to make changes to give him more of a comeuppance in the movie. It doesn't look like they're going to do that. It looks like just a boringer version of the same Broadway show.
If I were to guess, they're probably going to get rid of the scene where he like kisses Zoe and she doesn't want it.
I feel like that's such an important, like, stupid plot moment that maybe they won't.
Yeah, but it's so gross. I don't know.
And I don't know about you. If I was in Zoe's position, I would never date anyone that ever did that to me.
Oh, hell no.
No. And it makes Zoe seem like a much worse character because that happens.
Yes. And because she forgives him at the end, which is
yes.
Like,
No, you get the fuck out. You kick him in the balls and just leave him on that park bench.
It's like, yeah, I'll meet you at the fucking orchard.
Then you got a bat. we'll see how the movie does. I'm sure we'll do something when that movie comes out. We'll do a podcast episode. And if you want to go even more in depth than this, we did a full podcast episode on Dear Evan Hansen a few years ago.
Where
so
I'm pretty sure
out.
I spend most of the episode explaining the plot and like
yes,
screaming
and
about
funny.
It.
It's funny. It's hilarious. We've calmed down a bit after a couple years, but my God, Dear Evan Hansen. Yeah.
It's not good.
It's not good. And it's gross. And also, let's not ignore that the only reason why Ben Platt's in the lead of the film is because his daddy's the producer. Nepotism king!
What are you gonna do? My biggest issue is that this show does not deserve a movie.
It barely deserved a musical.
It's just, I don't understand how you can write something that's this just ethically gross and be like, yeah, that's fine. Like, that's a good show. And then I guess it really just, it gets a free pass because the music is good.
Yeah, it's actually a damaging show. I would not want kids watching this. The message it gives is disgusting.
It really is. I mean, literally speaking, the message in here is like, if somebody commits suicide, it's a good thing for you to make up lies about them to their family, and like that's what they would want, because the ghost shows up twice and is like, yeah, you should keep doing this.
I feel like that was their get out of jail free card. Well, no, we have these ghosts come back and say it's great, it's cool.
Yeah, except for no.
No, are you stupid?
And then, of course, like, dating the fucking sister. Jesus Christ.
There's so much shit. So much disgusting shit that Evan does. And people will message me, like, when I started making tweets about how bad the movie looked. That musical saved me. It's about social justice and all that. And
it's not. It's like the opposite.
There's another argument, and I know we're getting close to the end of the video, but that people bring up that it's autistic representation in the character of Evan, because I'm going to tear that down a bit. A, no, it isn't, because it isn't in the text. You can performatively be influenced by something, but it is never stated in the text, so it is not that. B, yeah. If it was, it would be bad representation, because honestly, it makes the idea that it feels like an excuse to say, like, he does these terrible things.
Oh, he does these terrible things because he doesn't know any better.
Well, because he's autistic. And the thing is, that implies that autistic people are not in control of their own abilities, yeah, emotions, and feelings, which of course they are. And that's a horrible framing.
Plenty of autistic people, and none of them would ever do any of the fucking
No one would even consider this shit, no matter how much social, like, anxiety they have about situations. And just three, like, no, it's not. And the fact that you're trying to claim that as this is okay because of that, no. Are you dumb?
I would also say that he doesn't even have that much anxiety in these social situations. He's able to go to this dinner and make up lies about Connor. Like, that takes a lot of, like, confidence to do. Like, I don't think he's actually that anxious about it, to be fully honest with you.
Yeah. I think he's just a compulsive liar that has, like, a framing of being nervous on the outside.
Yeah,
there you go. Just figured it out, kids.
He's framed as nervous because the show itself is telling the audience, you need to feel bad for this person because look at, they're so nervous and like, they're so anxious, but like, he's just compulsively lying. People that are really anxious aren't able to compulsively lie like this. Like, you know,
but you know what? I think we've said enough about this. You guys now know the plot of Dear Evan Hansen. Are you still excited for the movie? Are you curious as to what they'll change? Let us know in the comments below.
They're going to have to change a hell of a lot to make me like it.
Yeah, but you're still going to have to see it in theaters, bitch.
Wow, you can fuck yourself.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.